All right. Good morning, church. How you doing today? It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord, right? For those of you who've forgotten, that wet stuff outside is called rain. But we're grateful for it. It's good to be here with you this morning. If I don't have the pleasure of having met you before, my name is Adrian Kutzer. I get to be one of the pastors here. And I get to this morning kick off this new series, The Story Of. But before we step into that, I think it would be remiss of us if we did not just take a moment this morning to acknowledge Memorial Weekend, a Memorial Day that we celebrate. And we just want to take a moment to just say thank you. And we want to show appreciation for those among you, among our congregation. Maybe it's family members, people you know that are serving or have served our country. We certainly know these are troubled times, but we are grateful for you. And I want you to know that. And even coming from an immigrant like myself, I am grateful. And so just thank you. And I hope that you will take time to say thank you to those in your lives, maybe you are, who have served as well. Now, as you saw, we're going to be diving into the story of the Tower of Babel this morning. I know with the weather, the flood and Noah would have been a little bit more appropriate, but you get the Tower of Babel today. You are welcome. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. I would ask you to stand with me as we honor God by reading from his word. And I would really love for y'all to follow with me. It is always so important for us to open the word of God and to orient ourselves with the word of God. So starting our reading in verse 1 of chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing what they propose to do will now be impossible for them. So verse 7, come, let us go down. And there confused their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Now let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that by your grace, you still speak to us. We thank you, Father, that you have gathered us today, Lord, to worship you, Lord, through song, through prayer, through community, Father, through fellowship, but also and above all, Lord, through unity in your word. I pray now, God, that you would speak to us, God, for we are listening and we long, Father, to know your desires for our lives. Please use this time, Father, through your spirit to shape us, to mold us. Help us, God, to grow in your ways. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Now, if there was such a thing as the Mount Rushmore of famous towers, I think if I started making an inventory in the room, we'd probably all agree on a few common towers. There'd probably be the Eiffel Tower in there. I think the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy would probably be up there. How about the Twin Towers? But I would make the case that the Tower of Babel should be in that Mount Rushmore of towers. And we will see why this morning. Because this is it's a great story. You may have read this as a child or to your children in a children's Bible. As a matter of fact, I read it to my son last night in his children's Bible. So it's a very well-known story. Many of us know or should know, I would say. But beyond just being a really good, really interesting and very striking narrative, what makes this text so valuable is not that it's interesting, but it's the depths and the truth that it reflects, not just of the human heart, but also of God's heart. I think it's helpful for us to understand the text in front of us. Now, by the way, I only have nine verses today. Some of the stories you'll look at later this summer will have multiple and multiple chapters, so you're welcome. But I would love to just unpack this text with you this morning and for us to just understand what it is that the Lord is telling us through this narrative. First of all, Genesis 11 is part of this package of chapters, this ensemble of packages of stories, of narratives, of descriptions we get at the very beginning of Scripture, where God essentially sets the stage for what is to follow. not just in the rest of the book of Genesis, but throughout scripture all the way to the book of Revelation. So it's so important for us to understand what is in front of us. This text specifically is kind of built around verse 5, ironically. The very heart of this text, if you look at it, it says, "And the Lord came down." This is the central truth of this text, is the Lord came down. What an act of grace. Now, if you look at what's going on, you see that the people, verse 1 and 2, the people are migrating from the east and they found a plain. Why are they migrating? Two reasons. Number one, there's space, so they migrate. Number two, God told them to. That's a pretty good reason right there. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, you see that God instructs humanity, instructs us all to be fruitful, to multiply, and to inhabit the earth. To inhabit the earth. Now, this is what's happening in verse 1 and 2, but then we come to verse 4, where we see this response from the people, where it says, and they stopped, they made some bricks, and then they say, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower with top in heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." They are explicitly saying, we want to be on the same footing as God, equal with God or above God, and we don't care what God thinks. He wants us to disperse, he wants us to scatter, he wants us to inhabit the earth. We don't want to do that. So what you see taking place here is really a form of rebellion and disobedience. And they build this tower that they hope will be a very, 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 very tall tower that will reach into the heavens, and they'll be able to just climb the tower and just go and see God and be with God, but really is be like God or be above God. And they build a tower that's perhaps a little bit like this one. This is a rendition of a ziggurat. This is the kind of towers they used to build very commonly in the ancient Near East, in this part of the world. And so they build this tower and the Lord intervenes. Verse 5, the Lord intervenes. "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built." Folks, I want you, before we go any further, just remember that the Bible, that scripture is for us, but it's about God. Okay? It's for us, but it's about God. And so just these few words right here, "but the Lord came down," is actually an incredibly beautiful statement of the grace of God. Is God cared enough to step in? You can't afford to miss that. He stepped into the story. But what does he do? He sees their rebellion. He sees what's going on. And so he scatters them. But he doesn't just scatter them as a quote unquote form of punishment, saying just be gone. No, no, no. He reorients them onto their original calling, which was inhabit the earth. So it's like, hey guys, this is not it. Go now. Go do what I told you to start with. Go inhabit the earth. Now, so far, it's just an interesting story. It's a very entertaining story, and I'm sure that there's great pictures depicting the story. But really, this story is a story of the heart of humanity that echoes from the very beginning, all through the ages, even into today. Because back then, today, we all have in our hearts this desire where we just express this idea of, this is not enough. I'm dissatisfied with this. I want to know more. I want to be more. I want to do things my way. I want to be in charge. And that's the challenge set by Genesis 11. You see, the truth is all of us are building something. Every one of us has a Tower of Babel of sorts, where we're all building something with our lives. And whatever that is, it does point to what it is that actually drives us. It points to the motives, to the heart of the matter, if you would. And so if we're not careful, we're gonna build a self-glorifying tower. The question, my friend, is what are you building today? Let me maybe tell you a little bit of a story to illustrate this. You may have heard of the Salisbury Cathedral in England. And it's a beautiful building. We have a picture of it right here. That's a beautiful structure. It was built in the early 1200s. I think it was completed around 1250. So it's pretty old. We agree on that? That's pretty old, but see how beautiful that is. Now here's a couple of interesting facts for you. First of all, that building was only half that tall when it was originally built. And it was beautiful. But then a century later, One of the men who was leading the church there decided he wanted this to be even better. He wanted something grander. He wanted something really, really, really tall and really, really, really big to make an impression for God, but really for him. The story is told that he really wanted this to kind of be his contribution to humanity. He wants to be remembered by the spire of the Salisbury Cathedral. And so they built the second half, if you want, the top half of that building. Now for scale, that building, that church, that cathedral, that spire is 404 feet high. Okay? If you're familiar with the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, in France, it's 100 feet shorter than the Salisbury Cathedral. So that thing is big. It is really big. As a matter of fact, the spire alone is 6,500 tons. Now, the story is not kind of sad or tragic enough. Yes, the other problem is the bottom half was not designed to carry the top half. The soil under it was not designed to carry much anyways. So the soil is soft. The building was built to do what it's supposed to do. But when they put the spire on it, it caused something really interesting. Is that all the columns carrying the spire are buckling. They're pushing out. And you can visibly see it if you go into that cathedral. It's an operation, by the way. Don't know why. But you can see the buckling because it was not designed to do what this man in 1330 wanted it to do. Now, it's beautiful and all. But why? You see, in so many ways, it expresses, it depicts a little bit of the lesson from Genesis 11, where we're all building something, and we can be building cathedrals to the glory of God, or we can be building monuments to the glory of self. And that is what we will unpack now. First of all, building monuments to the glory of self. Ayn Rand is an author that many of you are familiar with. She wrote Atlas Shrugged, for instance. She wrote this other book called The Fountainhead, and she has this great line by one of the characters who says, "I would give the greatest sunset in the world for one sight of New York's skyline. The sky over New York and the will of man made visible. What other religion do we need?" That in itself is a very tragic statement of modern day culture. But if we're honest, it reflects humanity from the olden days. I mean, if you go back and you look at any of the ancient worlds that we know and we study, there are so many monuments. So many monuments who make much of these men, especially and sometimes women of ancient times. Think about the pyramids, these big old graves to make sure that we remember the guy buried in it. You think about the Sphinx, you think about the statues of those Roman emperors. Some of those are upwards of 20, 30 feet tall. You think about other edifices, other buildings, other monuments like the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. These big, big things that were designed to just be remembered, to immortalize the mortal. Today, many build even libraries and museums to be remembered by, to put their stamp on history. And you know what's so interesting is, as we talk about monuments, there's no pocket monuments. You know, we have a word, right? This is monumental. Monumental means really big. It means really massive. It doesn't mean I'm going to put it in my pocket. If I say, hey, I have a monumental idea for you, doesn't mean it's nothing. Monuments. We have these monuments. These monuments to self. These monuments because we don't want to be forgotten. We want to be adored. The human heart desires to draw attention to itself and to elevate itself and to be an equal with God. And all of us, all of humanity sits in this tension. The people of God also sit in this tension between desiring self, glorifying acclaim, and the faithful godliness that we're called to. So what are you building? I know most of you, I'm assuming most of you don't have a pyramid in your backyard. I'm pretty sure most of you don't have a statue of yourself on a big old horse in your front yard, right? Right? Okay, good, I feel better. This was gonna be really awkward otherwise. We don't have those monuments, and that's true. However, we are still building something with our lives. We are building our own towers of Babel, our towers of Babel of achievement, of success, of pictures, of image, of awards, hall of fames, Think about social media. What is social media if it's not just a curating of your own image, of how you want to be seen and remembered by, whether it's true or not? We are building something, and when we are building a self-glorifying something, it is a tragedy, fueled by hubris, by this love of self. And guys, you know this. This hubris, this love of self is like an insatiable fire that just demands to be fed. And the heart of man is happy to put fuel in the fire, is happy to find things to put in there for this fire to rage. Now, sometimes we do good things for the wrong reason. You know, there's a line by Bernard Mandeville, and it's an old book, The Fable of the Bees. You may have heard of this. He says this. He says, pride and vanity have built more hospitals than all virtues together. Let me say it again. Pride and vanity have built more hospitals than all virtues together. We can do a lot of good things for really bad reasons. And sometimes we'll usurp good things to do something very ungodly. And what we will even do is we will do what the guy in for that cathedral is doing, where we build these monuments so-called to the glory of God, but they're really designed for us. In other words, we use God to rubber stamp our monuments. But you know, I think if we're honest, what it does show is even in the failure of it, it shows a desire in all of our hearts to do something meaningful, to leave a meaningful mark in history. So you can be building a monument to the glory of self, or you can be building a cathedral to the glory of God. I think there's three ways to think about this. First of all is to build cathedrals, we must aspire to a higher calling. We must aspire to a higher calling. Ironically, the higher calling begins in the heart, in the humbling of the heart. It begins in a place of integrity, just acknowledging and recognizing that I tend to drift towards the self-glorifying. You know what's the deal with when people applaud you? Is it feels nice. You know what's nice when people mention you positively in a conversation? It's nice. Or when people like your Facebook post, it feels good. We drift towards that. We enjoy that. We find a level of happiness. I wouldn't call it joy, but a momentary happiness in that. But that's what our heart drifts into. However, the challenge even by Genesis 11 is when we're called to a simple obedience, to a simple faithfulness, is that there's a call to a courageous contentment when we say God is enough. And if God is enough, I am not God. My friends, bricks and monuments will all turn to dust and to rust. They will end up covered in sand on the bottoms of the oceans, like many of these things that we've had a picture of a moment ago. But to build a cathedral to the glory of God, to build something meaningful with your life to the glory of God, it begins with you aspiring to something higher. By the way, did you look at Genesis 11? Did you catch that little tongue-in-cheek moment where these individuals are building this building to reach the heavens? Like it's gonna happen, right? And then there's a moment when scripture says, and God looked down and stepped down to them. This is kind of a tongue-in-cheek moment, but it's also a reminder is that we can try. We're not gonna get there. So what are we doing? How do we build these meaningful lives? Like I said, it begins with aspiring to a higher calling, to this idea of putting yourself last, of humbling yourself, of understanding the meaning of sacrifice, of obedience, of simple faithfulness. And that's whether it's in the moments like church or whether it's in everyday. Think about just in church world, right? Like we show up every Sunday and there's about 4,000 people on this campus on a Sunday. We have thousands of kids in the building and God is blessing us. We're able to pour into the next generation. Did you know that for next year, for this fall, for us to be able to serve the next generation, to disciple the next generation, we need an additional 150 people to step up like yesterday. It's not gonna need people who want to build their own towers of Babel. It's gonna need people who want to build a tower to the glory of God. It's not going to need people who want to make their own name known. It's going to take people just willing to serve and step where God calls us to. That's what it's going to take. So we aspire to a higher calling, but then also we understand that the mundane can be holy. The everyday routine can be holy. You know, I have this brick right here. It's a real brick, for the record. I promise not to throw it or to drop it, probably. But you know what? What's the thing about a brick is it's kind of an interesting thing, right? I have a pile of these behind my house. This is really just clay. Like in Georgia, we call that dirt. This is just clay compressed and baked really hard, and we build stuff with it. I know it's more complicated than that. It's okay. But this is a very common thing. Like if it broke, big deal, right? But did you think what you can do with a brick like this? You can build a patio. You can lay pavers. You can build a fire pit. I did. You can build a house. You can build a cathedral. You can build a monument. You can do a lot of stuff with a brick, with this everyday piece of clay. But here's the truth, friends, is God is giving you everyday bricks to build your lives with as well. And the question is, what are you building? What are you building with the everyday bricks of life? And are they bringing glory to God? Your everyday words, your everyday actions, your everyday thoughts, your reactions, your responses, the things that you do every day, they're all meant to be unto the Lord. They're all called to be sacred and holy and belonging to God. Because that is what we're called to, lives that bring glory to God. One of my favorite authors, Os Guinness, says that your desk can be a cathedral. That's a great line. But think about it. Those everyday moments, from your cup of coffee in the morning, taking the dog on a walk, going to school, hanging out with your friends, taking care of your kids, your parents. All those everyday moments, those things we don't think about twice, are meant to belong to God and to make much of God. And so when we understand that the mundane can be holy, we understand that this just requires a simple faithfulness in the routine, in the small things, in the little things. When the little things become good, the big things build from there. When I have good bricks, I can build a good building. Simple. Everyday faithfulness. And ultimately reflect this call in our lives that Christ explains about seeking his kingdom above all things. Seeking his kingdom above all else. And then these other things will be added. And it flows from a practicing of the everyday abiding in Christ, like a plant just sitting and rooted in the soil and feeding from it and growing from it. We abide in Christ. We are branches on the vine, abiding in Christ, growing from there, and ultimately bearing fruit. You see, the gospel even is not Christ redeeming us purely for a one day being in heaven. The gospel is Christ redeeming us for every day, for every moment, from the moment that we step into his will. The gospel is an everyday gospel. It's good news for every moment, for every day. It's about Christ redeeming every breath of your life. And that is what we talk so much about disciple making here. We talk so much about you just leaning intentionally with every person that God has placed on your way. You know, something we like to say on our team is God does not make mistakes with your address and with your relationships. God put those people in those places intentionally in your road for you to leverage it for the kingdom of God for Christ's sake. That is your call. That is the invitation. And more than that, Christ invites you to come with him with the help of his spirit to do that. So we go and we make disciples of all nations, teaching them what Christ has taught us and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we aspire to a higher calling, and the mundane is holy. And we do all of this because we can comfortably and definitely rest in the truth of a sovereign God. You see, scripture is the story of God above all. And even when we read Genesis 11, the story of the Tower of Babel, yes, it tells us about people making some very unfortunate, should I even say monumental, mistakes. But it's really a story of God, by God stepping in, God looking down, God stepping in, like I said earlier, and doing something about the situation. That is a reflection of a sovereign God. The sovereign God who sees that we're off course and steps into our lives graciously to correct course, to put us on the right direction again. That is what a gracious and wonderfully sovereign God does. Scattering is not necessarily a curse or a punishment. It's a reorientation. It's a course correction. Because we wanted to do what we wanted to do and got too comfortable. You know, it's really interesting. Today we celebrate Memorial. But you know, today is also Pentecost Sunday. When the church worldwide remembers what happened in Acts chapter 2, after the ministry of Christ, after his death and resurrection, his people gather in that upper room in Acts chapter 2 to pray, and God pours out his Spirit over them. And one of the results of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 is that the people in Jerusalem are like, these people are drunk, they're crazy. And they step out, and the believers in the upper room step out, and they start speaking all the multiple languages in the crowd. Hang on, you didn't get that. We're looking at Genesis 11, about a tower and a scattering and languages. Pentecost is people gathering in an upper room, being scattered into the crowd, to speak the languages in the crowd, to make Jesus known. And we see the end of that day, 3,000 people come to Christ and are baptized. But it doesn't stop there. If you read the rest of the book of Acts, you see that the people of God get kind of stuck a little bit in their faith. Let's just put it mildly, okay? And so God, again, through a set of circumstances, does what? He scatters them on again. And can I just point out to you, dear friends, that not a one of us would be in this room today if it wasn't for those scatterings. Because the people of God then were faithful in the little things and went out and made Jesus known, who made Jesus known, who made Jesus known down through the ages to whomever it is that led you to Christ and brought you to this place in history where you're not able to glorify God. But now you're called to go as well and be scattered. You're now called as well to go and live sent in those mundane moments every day. Where you remember what you've been taught in the Word. And you make Jesus known. We found our purpose in Jesus. And so yes, today is Memorial Day and we remember the selfless acts of service of so many. But let me close with this. What if I looked at your life? No. Just be honest. I promise, I'm almost done. Just be very, very, very honest for a second. You look at your life real quick. What have you built this far? I don't care if you're 13 or 113. What have you built this far? Is it a monument to the glory of yourself? Or is it a cathedral to the glory of God? What are you hoping to build with the time that you have left? What will you be leaving behind? Is the Tower of Babel? Or is the story of faithfulness and obedience, going where God leads you and watching him do miracle upon miracle of grace? I believe firmly that today is a day where God looked on us. And maybe for some of us, he's saying, what you doing on that tower? It's time to be scattered. But maybe for you, it's a time where you need Jesus today. Maybe it's a time where you know that you need Jesus to come and make you whole, to speak forgiveness, to speak truth, and to reorient you. Let me just remind you, friends, that is what makes it worth it all. It's the hope that we have in Christ. So if you want to talk with someone afterwards, we'll have some men here at my right, and some of us will be here as well, but question for you is, what are you building? Is the monument to the glory of yourself or a cathedral to the glory of God? Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your faithfulness and for your goodness. We praise you, God, for your kindness. We praise you, God, for the grace of a moment such as this, where we are confronted with the truth of who you are, the truth of what you say. And we know, God, that you are faithful to speak to us even now. I pray, God, that you would just speak truth to all of us, that you would lead us in the way you want us to go, and that you would point out in our hearts, Lord, what are the motives of our hearts. And if we have indeed been building monuments to ourselves, flatten them and scatter us. But help us, God, to build lives that are all about the glory of our God. Amen.